This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So there was a pastor preaching on this gospel reading, right? Not an easy one. And the pastor was focusing on this theme of loving your enemies. And he expounds on the value of grace and forgiveness. And he reminded everyone how we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the congregation was roused by the Holy Spirit, roused to action and filled with eagerness to go into the world and love their enemies. And so in that, the pastor asked them all, "Will you go out into the world and love your enemies?" And everyone in the congregation raised their hand except for one person. And so the pastor sees the hand missing, right? We can see everything from up here, just so you know. The pastor sees from one missing this little old lady. And so he asks the woman, "Why? Why cannot you love your enemies?" And she replied, "Well, Pastor, I can honestly say I have no enemies." And the pastor says, "Well, that's quite incredible. May I ask how old you are?" And she said, 96. And the pastor says, 96 years old and no enemies? Again, that is quite remarkable. Would you mind sharing with us how you were able to achieve this? And so the little old lady makes her way up. She totters up to the front of the church and she turns to the congregation and she says, "Because I outlived all of them." Now, you think that was funny. So I found that on Reddit. People are funny, you guys. I mean, with all the things, if you go on the internet, you can find. But the funniest thing was there was a comment further down, right? And the comment was, "Outliving your enemies is always the best revenge." But the gospel we hear today continues Jesus' sermon on the plain. So we heard more of that last week. And while the content of the sermon on the plain is very similar to what we may also know as the Sermon on the Mount, that we read in Matthew's gospel, it is a little different. Now, this is telling, I think, because perhaps we should wake up to the fact that these moral teachings are mentioned in two different accounts of Jesus' ministry, in two different locations, to two different audiences. So if you think about it in that way, and it was recorded, right? It's not difficult to argue that maybe Jesus thought these teachings were quite important. So Jesus is continuing his sermon by describing the moral values of the kingdom of heaven. Now, he has just given the gathering, the audience, a list of blessings and woes. We heard these last week. "Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be satisfied." And then he responds with it, "Woe to you who are filled now, for you will go hungry." Hard things to hear. So after we enter these moral teachings, after the blessings and the woes, I like the way Jesus starts this section because I almost get the sense that he realizes with the blessings and the woes, he's lost some of the crowd already. Right? So he says, "I say to you that listen." Perhaps what he was really getting at is, for those of you who are still listening, and you're really serious about following me, there's more. Love your enemy. Now, in the ancient world, many groups believed that the community was to imitate their leader. So we encounter Jesus, who has a following, and he is teaching them what it means to be his follower. Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me and continue on this journey, then this is what it's going to look like. Be merciful, as God is merciful. In other words, Jesus says, since it's God's predisposition to have mercy, since mercy is one of God's primary qualities, then we too are supposed to live in the same way. Now, I would argue that we've come up terribly short in many ways in caring for one another. In the broad scheme of things, I do believe this community takes really good care of each other. But if I'm truly honest with myself, am I worthy of God's mercy? The short answer would be no. I too come up short. So what Jesus is saying is, and we are called to recognize and understand that we are just as undeserving of God's mercy as anyone else we might think. And therefore, humbly, we offer mercy to others. That's how it works. That's what we hear today. That's how it works. That's how you show God you love God. That's how you show others how to live as a follower of Jesus. Now, Jesus is talking about loving our enemies and doing good to those who hate us and curse us and even strike us on the cheek. But more than anything, what he is pointing out, that to be a follower of God, to a lover of God, a follower of Jesus, that our response to other people is not predicated by their behavior. That how we respond to others as followers of Jesus is not predicated by how others treat us. Now, this is not a doormat theology. Jesus' response to do good to those who do bad to us. What in the world does that look like? So here's the dilemma. How do we move from the natural instinct? And it's clear to me that the fact that Jesus is mentioning this twice in two different settings, that he understands there is a natural instinct in us to match blow for blow and word for word. How do we live our lives responding with grace and kindness instead of reacting with words or actions? How do we live in a way that doesn't seek to answer hurt with more hurt? What would this look like in practice? Recently, I encountered a podcast. Her name is Mel Gibson, I believe, and she wrote a book called Let Them. Yeah. The Let Them Theory. And it's become quite a phenomenon. So I got the Audible book, and I listened to it. And the truth, you can get it. I welcome you to. But the truth is that the idea is that you let them. When people are angry and mean and hurtful, you let them. You don't try to fix them, right? But the very important second step is, then you let me. Right? This is where the idea of being a doormat leaves. You let them behave in their ill way, or even just leave us out. I got left out of a lunch meeting a couple weeks ago, and I was really bummed. The let them theory. Let them. And so then the question becomes, then let me. Then let me figure out what I need to do. Let me understand how to set healthy boundaries. Let me figure out why I was left out of a lunch meeting. Do I occupy the whole conversation? Probably. Maybe it was just an oversight. But let me then look inside. Don't let what other people do determine how I am going to be. And so if we take this gospel teaching and we look at what does that actually look like in practice? Well, I love this man, Eugene Peterson. Now, Eugene Peterson was a prolific author. He wrote all sorts of things. He also served a relatively small church and wrote so many books about being a Christian, so many books about Scripture. And the biggest, probably most popular book he wrote was something called The Message. Are any of you familiar with The Message? The Message isn't really a translation, right? Because a translation is when you go back. Now, he did go back to some of the original writings, but you're very specific about trying to match it word for word as you can, right? So what we read on Sunday, that's a translation. But he wrote a book called The Message. And how he did it is he went back and he goes, what does this sound like and mean to me in this common day language that maybe other people can understand? But in his writing, there was a great deal of humility, too, because he was learning. And so he takes this gospel, and this is what he writes. And I thought it was very helpful. And so I was like, Jesus, what are you talking about? So he writes, Jesus said, to you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond. Respond with the supple moves of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. Don't hit them back. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more payback. Live generously. Here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. He says, ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then rather than waiting, grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, should someone come and pat you on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers do that. I tell you, love your enemies. To help and give without expecting a return. You will never, Jesus says, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity, the way that God lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. God lives towards us. God is kind, so you be kind. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Right? Society loves a good fall from grace, don't we? Don't jump on their failures or criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are already down. That hardness of heart can boomerang. Go easy on people. You'll find that life is a lot easier. Give away your life, and you'll find that life is given back to you. But it's not merely given back. It's given back with bonuses and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way generosity begets generosity. That's a little clearer understanding, yes? And it's good to keep in mind that love that we are talking about in this sense. Love is not that fuzzy, warm feeling we all got as teenagers when we had a crush on somebody. It's not even the Simpsons we might have as love for a child or a pet or a spouse or a family member or a friend. Love in this essence is essentially about willing the good for another person. Willing the good for another person. If you think about it, that's even harder sometimes, isn't it? Especially when they've done us wrong. Listen, friends, Jesus doesn't need us to be offended on his behalf at the ways of the world. He needs us to go out and be Jesus in the world. And the reason he says that your reward will be great, because it won't depend on someone else and how they respond to you or react to you. Because see, when we put our baggage down, the grudges we might hold, we are free then, truly free to serve God. Now, are we always going to get it right? Heck no. But when we recognize that we've got it wrong, we are called to turn our focus again back, not to the deeds that someone else has done to us, but to focus on God. Keep the thing the thing. And my goodness, there are so many things out there right now that want to distract us from keeping the thing the thing. So the truth is, in all of this, I'm sure they were all very confused. I don't know how many people were still listening by this point. Probably looking at their fingernails and, you know, what is he talking about? But essentially, life with Jesus, he's saying it doesn't only offer a peace which passes all understanding. We may recognize that phrase, a peace which passes all understanding. But he's also asking us to love in a way that is beyond our understanding. Amen.